John chapter 21. Just want to say I'm glad to see each and every one of you this morning. I know I missed Wednesday night. Feels like I've missed longer than that. Feels like I haven't been here in a little while. So it's good to be here this morning. It's a beautiful day, and it's just been a good day already. Think about the drive up this morning. Some conversation that me and Trinity have had, and I can just tell God's working this morning. And I have a thought on my heart that I want to get across, and I ask that you would pray for me, especially this morning. Starting here in John chapter 21, before we read, we'll bow to the Lord in prayer once again. Just ask you to bow with me. Dear Lord, we come to you again this morning. Lord, we're thankful for the opportunity that you give us to be here and assemble with your people. I thank you for each one that's able to come this morning. Amen. Lord, you know those that weren't able to come. Lord, for whatever reason, I just pray that you would look down and bless, Lord, if they just decided to stay home, if they decided to go fishing, if they decided to just do other things, Lord, with their time. I pray you'd prick their heart, help them to see the importance for it, the importance for them to come to church, Lord. Help them to see that there's no better place to be on Sunday morning than with your people, learning about you, learning about Jesus, Lord. I pray most of all, if there be one here lost this morning, that we could see them saved before it be everlasting too late. Lord, I don't know the hearts of your people this morning. Lord, I know my heart. I know what you've shown me through your word, through the studies that I've done. Lord, I just thank you for that, and I just pray that I could relay the thought that I have this morning to your people. I pray that it could be a blessing. I pray you'd just speak through me. Help me to get myself out of the way, Lord. Help us to give you all the honor and the glory. Lord, I just pray that as Christians we could be a stepping stone and never a stumbling block. I just pray that we could see more souls saved, we could see your work accomplished. I pray we could serve you better each and every day. Lord, you know all the requests of prayer that we've heard this morning. I just pray that you would reach down and bless according to your perfect will. Lord, most of all, we think of the spiritual needs, Lord. There's so many things that we need spiritually. We need growth. We need concern. We need zeal. I just pray that you would help us to gain these things. Help us to look to you. I pray that we could have a good day just going about serving you. I ask all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. John chapter 21. You know, I have a thought on my heart this morning that I feel I've kind of pounded on here and there. Seemed like recently, at least it seemed like it's been coming back to my mind several times. You say, preacher, why do you keep preaching on this? Well, sometimes we need to hear it again. And so, just a familiar thought again, but maybe kind of a different angle we're going to look at. Start here, chapter 21, verse 1 says, after these things, Jesus showed himself again to the disciples at the Sea of Tiberias, and on this wise showed he himself. There were together Simon Peter and Thomas, called Didymus, and Nathanael of Cana in Galilee, and the sons of Zebedee, and two other of his disciples. Simon Peter saith unto them, I go a fishing. They say unto him, we also go with thee. They went forth and entered into a ship immediately, and that night they caught nothing. I wonder why. I wonder why. You ever been out trying to do something on your own and it just seemed like you have no success whatsoever? And then it just dawned on you. Feel like somebody slapped you in the back of the head. Maybe it's because I'm not doing what the Lord wants me to be doing. They caught nothing all night. Verse 4, but when the morning was now come, Jesus stood on the shore, but the disciples knew not that it was Jesus. Then Jesus saith unto them, children, have ye any meat? They answered him, no. And he said unto them, cast the net on the right side of the ship, and ye shall find. They cast therefore, and now they were not able to draw it for the multitude of fishes. And we'll cease reading here with this verse, number 6 here. I want to point out the fact that Simon Peter was a fisherman. That's what he did. That's what he grew up doing. That's what he was doing the day up until the day that the Lord came along and said, "Follow me." That's what he did best. That's how he made his living. He was a fisherman. I believe he was probably one of the best around. You say, how do you know this? If you make your living off of fishing, you must be pretty good in order to do that. You think about you men here and some of you ladies, how you make your living. You got to be pretty good at it. Even if you don't like it, you still got to be able to do it well to the point where, I don't want to be fired. I need this job in order to provide. You got to be somewhat good at it, don't you? I believe Peter was a good fisherman, a great fisherman. But you know, Jesus shows us a picture through this. They were fishing after all this had went down with the Lord, Jesus going to the cross and rising again. And we know that Peter denied the Lord, denied being a follower of Jesus Christ, denied Him three times. But we find here that Simon Peter saith unto them, "I go a fishing." What in the world were they doing fishing? And I've pointed this out before. I've mentioned this thought before, just something I've thought of anyway. Many of you might not have thought about this, but I thought, you know, if it were me and I told the Lord, "Hey, you can count on me. Hey, I'm not going to leave you. I'm going to follow you till death," like Peter said, and then I deny Him, like Peter did, at least in my mind, I'd be trying to make it up to him, wouldn't you? Yeah. I feel like, you know, if I betrayed the Lord, and no doubt I failed the Lord all the time, and I feel like I spend most of my time, Brother Jack, trying to make things up to the Lord. I feel like I do that a lot of times, but in Peter's situation especially, I feel like, you know, I'd be out there trying to make things right. But we find him fishing. Fishing. "I go a fishing." And they said, "We also go with thee." And they went fishing. They fished all night. Did not catch a thing. No thing. They caught nothing. I wonder why. I wonder why. You ever tried to do things the way you think they ought to be done and you hit a wall again and again and again? You say, "What in the world is going on? Why ain't this working out?" Simon Peter, I've been a fisherman my whole life. Why can't I catch a fish? Brother Alton, there's been times, and you've experienced this with me, back in revival, you took us out to a fishing hole. Brother Barry, you as well. Me and Daddy get out there. I've been fishing since I was knee-high to a grasshopper. Didn't catch a thing. Daddy caught some, though. And y'all know that got on my nerves. But I just sit there and wonder, I've been fishing my whole life. Why can't I fish anything? Obviously, there's fish to be caught. But I didn't catch anything. And I know the frustration that's with that. And we could just see Simon Peter here getting frustrated. "Why ain't I catching any fish? I know how to catch fish. I know where to catch fish. I know what time is best to catch fish. Why ain't I catching any fish?" Well, he wasn't doing what the Lord wanted him to be doing. He wasn't doing things God's way, the Lord's way, Jesus' way. And that's my thought here this morning. Have you tried the Lord's way? Have you tried doing what the Lord wants you to do? Have you tried maybe following Him for a change? Looking to Him for a change? You say, I'm doing what I think is right by my kids. I'm doing what I think is right with my finances. I'm doing what I think is right with how I live my life, my lifestyle. You say, there's a lot more people out there that are a whole lot worse off than what I'm doing. You say, I'm not all that bad. I do this here and this here wrong, and I know that and I admit that, but there's some folks out there that are way worse off than me. I'm doing things right in my mind in this area or that area. I'm doing things the best I can. I'm doing what I feel is right, yet seem like I just keep hitting a wall. Things keep blowing up in my face. Things come back to bite me. You know, doing what's right in our minds, that's a whole lot different than doing things God's way. You say, I've done this my whole life. I think of Peter again. He was a fisherman his whole life. But Jesus come along and he said, cast on the other side. That's a funny story to me. They weren't catching any fish. They fished all night and did not catch a thing. Jesus come along and said, cast over here. And they couldn't even pull up or draw up the net for the multitude of fishes. You say, I've done this my whole life. Jesus does it better. God does it better. The Lord does it better. Peter was a fisherman his whole life. Jesus is the master of the sea.
Yep.
Peter was a fisherman his whole life. Jesus could walk on water. You say, why? You know something I noticed, and I was writing this down as I was sitting there. It just kind of came to my mind. I've said this so many times. Peter was kind of a stubborn fellow, wasn't he? He reminds me a lot of me. But every time that Peter, or a lot of times that Peter, several times that he was maybe in error, he failed, or he had doubt, I find several times that Jesus showed Peter with fish. You think about in Matthew chapter 17, turn with me to Matthew chapter 17 real quick. Matthew chapter 17 and verse 24. We're going to read this real quick. Verse 24, it says, and when they were come to Capernaum, they that received tribute money came to Peter and said, doth not your master pay tribute? He saith, yes. And when he was come into the house, Jesus prevented him, saying, what thinkest thou, Simon? Of whom do the kings of the earth take custom or tribute, or their own children, or of strangers? Peter saith unto him, of strangers. Jesus saith unto him, then are the children free, notwithstanding, lest we should offend them. Go thou to the sea, and cast an hook, and take up the fish that first cometh up. And when thou hast opened his mouth, thou shalt find a piece of money. That take and give unto them for me and thee. Isn't that interesting this morning? I love that. And that's something that just come to my mind. Jesus taught Peter, and a lot of times through fish, through the sea, being out on the water, something that Peter was well familiar with, very familiar with. You say, why? I believe a lot of times God shows us that even the things we think we're best at, He's better at.
Come on.
And that's something that He was showing Peter here, and that's a picture to us this morning. You say, I've been doing it this way my whole life. I've been doing what I think is right my whole life. I know what I'm doing. If anybody knows what they're doing in this situation, it's me. God knows better than you do. God knows better than you do. I'll give you another example, and then we'll move on. I told y'all I was having truck trouble, vehicle trouble this past week. Brother Bear, I went to college to work on vehicles. I didn't finish because the Lord called me to preach, but I took Vo-Tech class in high school. I was always interested in engines and swapping out parts and mechanicing. That's what I was wanting to do in my life until the Lord called me to preach. That was my plan. I was going to be a mechanic. My truck broke down. And I told Daddy, Daddy, I don't know what I'm doing wrong. I don't know why I'm having this problem. It seemed like I couldn't keep my truck running. I believe that God does things a lot of times, things that we He lets us have problems with things that we really shouldn't be having problems with in our mind. I know about vehicles. I know this should be able to fix this, but it's not getting fixed. And through that I learned, God knows better. God knows better. Even though, you know, I've kind of worked on this sort of thing my whole life, yet I'm still having a problem with it. I finally had to surrender to the Lord, and I parked that truck in Brother Bud Brown's yard, and I just surrendered to the Lord. Lord, show me what it is you're trying to show me. What is it you're trying to show me? And later on, He showed me that, you know, I needed to listen to Him. I needed to do things His way. And that was stop. Slow down. It took me 3 days to get that truck fixed to where it needed to be. But through that, God showed me His way in doing things. I tried to patch it up with my temporary fixes. They didn't work. And thank the Lord, He finally gave me a way to fix my truck again. But I believe that God does things to us so many times in a way that we say, well, I know how to fix this problem if anybody does. Yet we still can't fix it because God wants to show us that, hey, I know better than you do. So when we're going through trials in this life, we need to do things God's way. God created the seas. God parted the waters for Moses. And I want you to get that picture for a minute. I think about Moses and the children of Israel as they were getting out of Egypt. And they thought, you know, here we are, we're able to get out of here. And they look behind them and here come Pharaoh and his army. On their tail, they come up to the Red Sea. What are we going to do now? And they're looking for a way around it. They're looking for a way to at least Moses is. I know most of the children of Israel, they're saying, well, you've led us out here to die. And a lot of times, in that situation, we start looking for a way around the trial, a way to avoid the trial, a way to get out of the trouble. But what was God's solution in that scenario? He went through the sea. He went through it. And a lot of times when God says, you need to go through this, we don't understand. And so many times, God's way to end a trial is to go through the trial. To go through the trial. You say, oh, if I can just do this, if I can just make this happen, we'll make it through this problem. And then the next problem occurs. You know, you might find a way to bust through one wall, but there'll be another wall when you bust through that one if you ain't looking to God. You might think, well, I got this situation handled. I got this in the bag. No, you don't. You don't. And look, I'm speaking from experience this morning. Daddy told me recently, he said, sometimes it feels like Satan has you down, and you know we know we need, when we get knocked down, we need to get up again. We need to trust the Lord, and He'll help us up. But it feels like sometimes Satan just keeps his foot down on us. Well, it's because a lot of times we ain't looking to the Lord like we ought to be. We ain't trying God's way. We're trying to get around the troubles that we face, around the situations that we face. A lot of times God wants us to go through them in order to get past it. Need to go through them, not around it. I think back to John chapter 21 again. You say, what's the difference in casting on one side or the other on the boat? Because Jesus was commanding them to do so. And it worked. You say, preacher, I can't get out of this situation. Why do I keep hitting a wall? Why do I keep hitting a wall in my marriage? Why do I keep hitting a wall in my family? Why do I keep hitting a wall in trying to make a living? I'm just trying to make an honest living. I'm just trying to do what's right. But I keep hitting a wall. Have you tried God's way? I think about kids. And this is something I talk about all the time because it's all the time on my heart. You look around and see how people discipline, or rather don't discipline, their kids nowadays. You say, why are they acting up? Why don't they listen to me? Why are they so hard to handle? Have you tried God's way? Have you tried God's way? The Bible says, he that spareth the rod hateth his son. Have you tried discipline? Have you tried consistent consequences with your child if they disobey what you tell them to do? How many times you walk in the Wendy's or the Popeyes or somewhere to eat, you sit down and you see that child over there that's just going crazy. You can't even hardly enjoy your meal because they're screaming so loud and that mom's just over there on her phone, ignoring it. What's with that? People ain't looking to God's way anymore. I'm not saying you need to just yank up your child and beat them, but you need to be consistent with punishment for a child. And I believe that's what the Bible teaches when it talks about not sparing the rod. Be consistent with your child. Be consistent with them. You say, why is my child always angry at me? Why are they always back talking to me? Why do they have such anger issues? Well, are you getting angry with them? The Bible says, provoke not thy children to wrath. What are they seeing you? Are they seeing, when children look at me, do they see Branson's way? Uncle Branson's way? Or do they see me trying to do what the Bible tells us to do? You say, I'm always hitting this wall. Have you tried God's way? Speaking of walls, the thing about Joshua, the children of Israel, when they approached Jericho, what were they instructed to do? March around the walls of Jericho for several days. Why? So why couldn't God just prepare a mighty wind to come in there and sweep down the whole city and make it crumble? Why couldn't he do like Sodom and Gomorrah and just bring down fire from heaven and destroy that people? Why couldn't he do like he did in Egypt and bring in all these different diseases and plagues and terrible catastrophes? And why couldn't he just destroy the people? Why couldn't he just cause them all to die? Why couldn't he just cause them to leave? Why couldn't he just convince them that, hey, this is God's people, we need to get out of here and let them have their land? He could have done any of that. But he told them to march around the walls. Yep. And in the end, the walls came down. Why? So that don't make sense. Why'd he do it this way? Well, that was God's way. We can sit here and try to figure out all day long why God does what he does in these certain ways. We can try to figure out, Lord, why'd you do it this way? We'd be wasting our time. We don't know. But I can tell you one thing. Most of the time, he does it his way so he can teach us. So why did Jesus teach Peter so many times through fish? Well, that's something Peter understood. That's something he understood. Why does it seem like the one thing that I know how to do, that's what I'm always having problems with? Well, that's because we can learn the best through that. And God knows it. You say, I just keep hitting the wall. Keep hitting the wall. Have you tried listening to the Lord? It don't matter if it makes sense to you. It don't matter if it seems like it's going to work. You say, preacher, I've done this sort of thing my whole life. Matthew chapter 10, verse 30 says, tells us that, says, but the very hairs of your head are all numbered. You say, I've done this my whole life. Yeah, you've also lived in this fleshly vessel your whole life. I bet you can't number the hairs of your head. I bet you can't do that. You say, well, again, I feel like I always say this and I make a joke out of it, but you say, well, I don't have much hair, so I can number the hairs of my head. I'll give you another one. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12 says that through God's Word, we can discern, says Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12, speaking of the Word of God, it's the discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Can you do that? I can't. I can't. We're told that the heart is wicked, is deceitful, is evil. Nobody can know the heart. It's unpredictable. It's fleshly. But God's Word can discern the thoughts and intents of our heart. Can you do that? Nope. Not without the Word of God. By trusting your heart. A lot of times people say, go with your heart, go with your gut. I'm not trying to be comical this morning, but I wouldn't advise going with your gut. I wouldn't advise going with your instincts, as many people say we need to do. Trust in your heart. Stick with what you know. What you know as a person. I want to stick with what God tells us. I wouldn't advise to go with your heart, go with your instincts, or go with your gut. Try God's way instead. He's been doing this a little longer than us. He's been doing it a whole lot longer. Turn with me to 2 Samuel chapter 6. Second Samuel chapter 6, verse 1. It says, again, David gathered together all the chosen men of Israel, 30,000. And David arose and went with all the people that were with him from Baal of Judah to bring up from thence the ark of God, whose name is called by the name of the Lord of hosts, that dwelleth between the cherubims. And they set the ark of God upon a new cart, and brought it out of the house of Abinadab that was in Gibeah. And Uzzah and Ahio, the son of Abinadab, drave the new cart. And they brought it out of the house of Abinadab, which was at Gibeah, accompanying the ark of God. And Ahio went before the ark. And David and all the house of Israel played before the Lord on all manner of instruments made of fir wood, even on harps and on psalteries and on timbrels and on cornets and on cymbals. And when they came to Nacon's threshing floor, Uzzah put forth his hand to the ark of God and took hold of it, for the oxen shook it. And the anger of the Lord was kindled against Uzzah, and God smote him there for his error. And there he died by the ark of God. And David was displeased because the Lord had made a breach upon Uzzah. And he called the name of the place Perez Uzzah to this day. And David was afraid of the Lord that day and said, how shall the ark of the Lord come to me? So David would not remove the ark of the Lord unto him and to the city of David. But David carried it aside into the house of Obed-Edom the Gittite. And the ark of the Lord continued in the house of Obed-Edom the Gittite 3 months, and the Lord blessed Obed-Edom and all his household. So why are we reading this morning? Tell you a little bit of what's going on. I know many of you are probably familiar with this, but the ark of the covenant of God was to be carried a certain way, a very specific way. There were certain men of God chosen to take care of this ark. There were certain ones that could touch the ark, even. You say, why did a man named Uzzah die? David didn't do things God's way. And there was a mess made, wasn't there? You say, all he did was reach out and try to stabilize it when the oxen shook it on that cart. Say, preacher, why does it matter one way or the other? Why does it matter if I do something the way God wants me to do, or if I do it my way? It ain't hurt nobody but me. You're wrong. Uzzah would say otherwise, wouldn't he? Because David chose to transport the ark his way instead of God's way. Uzzah, probably being just the good old boy that he was, reached out to stabilize that ark, and he died. Uzzah would tell you that it matters. It matters. If you do things just your way, or if you do things God's way. Do things God's way. We also find that Obed-Edom, when the ark was brought to his house and it dwelled there for 3 months, he was blessed. He was blessed. Why? Well, you think about the king knocking on your door, saying, I need you to serve me. I need you to take care of this. Be of service to me by taking care of this ark. He could have said, not in my house, you don't. You can take that somewhere else. He didn't do that. He obeyed the Lord. And we see two different sides of it. Somebody that disobeyed the Lord and somebody that obeyed the Lord. And Obed-Edom was blessed because of it. This morning, if you're hitting a wall, if you keep falling on your face, you feel like life is kicking your legs out from under you and you're calling you shorty. I've been there. Because a lot of times, my old stubborn fleshly self, I just don't want to listen to the Lord. I feel like, you know, this is so simple, I can handle it myself. I don't have to pray about this. This ain't no big deal. I know how to handle this. I've learned at times, I almost am nervous to get up in the mornings because I've fallen on my face so many times. And through that, God has shown me, you can't even get up in the morning without me. You can't. And you want to get down to just the meat and potatoes of it, you can't even draw your next breath without God letting you. We're all sitting here in church. How many of you are counting the breaths that you take? How many are thinking to breathe, telling yourself to take a breath? None of us are doing that. You might be now because I brought it up, but God's in control of that. We literally cannot do anything without Him. So why try to just do it your way? You say, preacher, this don't make sense. What God wants me to do, it don't make sense. I'll tell you what don't make sense, and this is no way lifting me up. What don't make sense is a young boy like me didn't finish college, went to Purvis High School, South Mississippi. I feel a lot of times when I stand up here to preach, I can't even speak well. I stutter. I mispronounce. What don't make sense in my mind is somebody like me getting up here and preaching to a good group of people like you. But you know what? That's what God wanted. And I'm thankful I surrendered to that. I feel like I'd be in a whole lot worse of a situation if I didn't surrender to that. I'm blessed to be here. And you'll find yourself the same way if you just listen to the Lord. Just listen to the Lord. Just do it His way. It don't matter if you know the situation, if you don't know what's going on, if you've been there before, it don't matter. You say, I know this like the back of my hand. I'm going to give you another example or two before I quit. Y'all just bear with me. I think about something that just popped to mind again. A lot of times, especially going down to Bassfield, Mississippi, Brother Alton, there's some bad roads down that way. Going down Broom Road, I don't think they've repaved that road in 100 years. That road is horrible. But I grew up on that road. And every now and then when me and Trinity, we go to visit my sister, go visit my mama, I'll be kind of going a little fast down that road and I'll just say, hush, I know what I'm doing. I grew up on this road. And then next thing I know, I'll be running off the road, about scared to death. I'll end up doing something foolish, Brother Jack. I've done this my whole life, but I believe God has a sense of humor because sometimes He'll even show me that I don't know what I'm doing in something as simple as that. It don't matter if you've done it your whole life. It don't matter. God knows better. I'll give you one more. 2 Kings chapter 5. 2 Kings chapter 5. This is just one more thought God put on my heart real quick, and we'll be done. 2 Kings chapter 5, verse 1. It says, "Now Naaman, captain of the host of the king of Syria, was a great man with his master and honorable, because by him the Lord had given deliverance unto Syria. He was also a mighty man in valor." This man was great. He was known. He was a good person. He was strong. He was a man of valor, bravery, but he was a leper. Verse 2, it says, "And the Syrians had gone out by companies and had brought away captive out of the land of Israel a little maid. She waited on Naaman's wife, and she said unto her mistress, 'Would God, my Lord, were with the prophet that is in Samaria, for he would recover him of his leprosy.' And one went in and told his Lord, saying, 'Thus and thus said the maid that is of the land of Israel.' And the king of Syria said, 'Go, and I will send a letter unto the king of Israel.' And he departed and took with him 10 talents of silver and 6,000 pieces of gold and 10 changes of raiment. And he brought the letter to the king of Israel, saying, 'Now when this letter is come to thee, behold, I have therewith sent Naaman my servant to thee, that thou mayest recover him of his leprosy.' And it came to pass, when the king of Israel had read the letter, that he rent his clothes and said, 'Am I God to kill and to make alive, that this man doth send unto me to recover a man of his leprosy? Wherefore consider, I pray you, and see how he seeketh a quarrel against me.' And it was so, when Elisha, the man of God, had heard that the king of Israel had rent his clothes, that he sent to the king, saying, 'Wherefore hast thou rent thy clothes? Let him come now to me, and he shall know that there is a prophet in Israel.' So Naaman came with his horses and with his chariot, and stood at the door of the house of Elisha. And Elisha sent a messenger unto him, saying, 'Go and wash in Jordan 7 times, and thy flesh shall come again to thee, and thou shalt be clean.' But Naaman was wroth, and went away, and said, 'Behold, I thought he will surely come out to me, and stand and call on the name of the Lord his God, and strike his hand over the place, and recover the leper. Are not Abana and Pharpar rivers of Damascus better than all the waters of Israel? May I not wash in them and be clean?' So he turned away and went away, in a rage. And his servants came near and spake unto him and said, 'My father, if the prophet had bid thee do some great thing, wouldst thou not have done it? How much rather then when he saith to thee, "Wash and be clean"?' Then went he down and dipped himself 7 times in Jordan, according to the saying of the man of God, and his flesh came again like unto the flesh of a little child, and he was clean." This morning we have countless proofs, examples of how when we just simply do things God's way, it's going to pan out a whole lot better for you. This man, Naaman, he went away angry because Elisha said, "Just go dip in the Jordan 7 times. Like that's dumb. That's silly. That's too simple. That don't make sense. I can handle this myself better than that. That ain't going to work." And one of his servants come up to him and said, "Well, if he'd asked you to do some great thing, if he'd asked you to jump through hoops, you'd have done it, wouldn't you? But he said, just go wash, be clean." And when he did it, he was clean. His skin returned to him as that of a little child. Ain't it amazing the results that we can see when we just do things God's way? When we just listen, we get out of this stubborn state of mind. When we get out of following what others are doing. When we get over this whole... seem like we're just... Everybody's following everybody else. Everybody's doing the same. As Christians, we need to... to do something a little different. We need to be light and day difference from what the world's doing. Do things God's way. I find so many Christians today that there's nothing different about them than the rest of the world. What really separates us from everybody else? It should be following the Lord. If we're not following the Lord, we're really not any different other than the fact that He saved our souls and we have that. But as far as what we look like, how we act, how we do, if we're not following God, there's nothing different with us. But all the time we get frustrated because things don't work out the way we want them to. It's no wonder. Again, in my own life, I've looked back and just thought, if you'd have just listened to the Lord, why don't you just listen? Why don't you just listen? Why don't you just listen this morning? This will be the message. We'll have a verse of a song.